Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Richmond Radio Works Theater. Today we have the wonderful radio play, The Shop Around the Corner, to present to you. We hope you enjoy it.
Well, well, The Shop Around the Corner, they call this story. And do you know whose shop? Matushik & Company, novelties and leatherware. Best of its kind in Chicago. It really is. Wonderful values at all times. In fact, I don't know how Matushik & Company does it.
Just a moment, please. Who are you?
Who? Me? Well, I'm Matushik.
Oh!
Yes, well, anyhow, it all happened in my store. Practically all. That's why I'm telling it. Well, this is a story of two young people of whom I'm very fond, Clara and Martin. Clara is very attractive. Yes, she's most attractive, and an excellent sales girl. But Martin and Clara haven't gotten on at all from the very first day she came to work for me. Professional jealousy on Martin's part, because no head clerk likes to have an assistant, especially such a pretty assistant, outsell him.
Oh, Miss Novak, whatever became of those musical cigarette boxes that nobody ever buys?
I just sold the last one, Mr. Martin.
Oh. Can I help you with something, madam?
Oh, no, thank you. I prefer to have the young lady wait on me.
Oh. Well, I've had a pretty good day. My sales comes to exactly $167.
Mm-hmm. My sales came to $250.
Oh.
Yes, you can easily see how these little occurrences would hardly make for a beautiful friendship. But all this didn't seem very important to Martin these days. He had something else on his mind. Martin was living in a romantic plane far above the everyday routine of Matushik & Company. I found that out one day when I chanced to overhear him talking with a fellow clerk named Pirovich.
Want to hear something nice, Pirovich?
Yes. What is it?
It's a letter from a girl. Now listen. My heart was trembling as I walked into the post office. And there you were, lying in box 237. And I took you out of your envelope and read you. I read you right there. Oh, dear friend.
Well, what is all this?
Well, you see, I was looking through the ads in the Sunday paper, and I got to the wrong page and ran across this ad. Here, let me show it to you. See?
Modern girl wishes to correspond on cultural subjects anonymously with intelligent, sympathetic young man. Address, dear friend. Post office 15, box 237.
Now, we've exchanged four letters, and Pirovich, she's no ordinary girl. Now, listen to this. Are you tall or short? Are your eyes brown? Are they blue? Now, don't tell me. What does it matter as long as our minds meet?
Right. It is beautiful. Yes.
Now, listen. What are men and women for but to rise above the stupid necessities of the eight-hour day?
That sounds really nice, Martin, but you really
shouldn't... Excuse me, Pirovich. Miss Novak, what do you think you're going?
I'm going home, Mr. Martin. It's 6 o'clock.
It's 5 minutes of six. This store does not close for another 5 minutes. I'm afraid, Miss Novak, you don't take your work very seriously.
Oh, don't I?
No, and I don't like your attitude.
Listen, let me tell you something.
Yes, and while I think of it, I don't like the clothing you've been wearing to the store. For instance, that yellow blouse with the light green dots that you had on yesterday.
That was a green blouse with light yellow dots, and everybody else thought it was very becoming.
Yes, well, I...
And I don't remember that I ever remarked about your neckties. And believe me, Mr. Martin, if you think I couldn't say anything about your neckties... So, I'll thank you to leave my blouse alone. It's none of your business.
Well, I'm very sorry, but Mr. Matushik thinks it is my business.
Oh, yes, that's right. I'm working under you. Well, from now on, I'll telephone you every morning to describe just exactly what I'm going to wear. And before I select my next season's wardrobe, my dressmaker will submit samples for you. Imagine you dictating what I should wear.
Well, for heaven's sake, I don't care what you wear. If you want to look like a pony in the circus, all right.
Listen, I sold as much goods yesterday as anybody else in the place. $197 isn't bad for a rainy Friday 3 weeks before Christmas. Did you tell that to Mr. Matushik?
I did.
What did he say?
He said, tell her not to come in that blouse anymore.
Tell him I won't.
I will.
Come, come, come. Always fighting, you two. Why don't you try to get along better?
I'd like to know who could get along with a man like him. Oh, it is now exactly 6 o'clock, Mr. Martin. May I go?
Yes, Miss Novak.
Oh, thank you very much.
Stubborn little female. I don't know why we ever hired that girl.
Now, don't get yourself all worked up. Calm down.
Sure, sure. What do I care about a girl like that anyway?
Oh, forget her. Tell me more about that girl you've been writing to. You know, dear friend.
Hmm? What? Oh, yeah. Oh, Pirovich, she's wonderful. She's... Well, you know, after a while in our letters, we came to the subject of love. Well, naturally, on a very cultural level.
What else can you do in a letter?
Yeah, that's right. But Pirovich, she's the most marvelous girl in the world. She has such ideals, such a point of view on things. Yeah, that's right. But Pirovich, she's the most wonderful girl in the world. Why, she's so far above the girls you meet today, there's simply no comparison.
You really like her, don't you?
I hope I will.
What do you mean? You love a girl and you don't even know if you like her?
That's right, Pirovich. That's just the question. You see, I haven't met her yet.
You haven't? What? After all this time?
I've postponed it again and again. I'm scared, Pirovich. You see, this girl thinks I'm the most wonderful person in the world, and after all, there's a chance that she might be disappointed.
I see.
Yes, but tonight I'm taking the risk. I'm meeting her tonight at 8 in a cafe. She's going to have a copy of Tolstoy's Anna Karenina and a red carnation for a bookmark. Oh, I haven't slept for days.
I'm sure she'll be beautiful.
Well, not too beautiful. Well, what are the chances there for a fellow like me?
Well, what do you want, a homely girl?
No. Just a lovely, average girl, that's all.
That's the clock in the back of my shop striking 8 p.m. And that's exactly the hour Martin was to meet dear friend for the first time at the cafe. Well, when the time came, Martin didn't feel quite so brave. So he asked Pirovich to come along to give him moral support. And even after he got there, he was afraid to go in. He stood with Pirovich in a shadow outside the front window and peered in. He wanted Pirovich to see if he could spot a girl with a red carnation for a bookmark.
See anything?
Not yet. Oh, there's a beautiful girl.
Really?
Very beautiful. But no book.
Oh, too bad.
Wait a minute. I think I see it. Right here under the window. Yeah. And a Karenina by Tolstoy. And a carnation.
Yes. Well, what does she look like?
Well, I can't see her face. She's sitting behind the clothes rack. There's a cup of coffee on a table. She's taking a piece of cake. Martin, she's dunking.
Well, why shouldn't she?
Oh, all right.
What else, Pirovich? How does she look?
Well, I can't see her face yet. Don't shove me, Martin. She's leaning forward now. She...
Well, can you see her?
Yes.
Is she pretty?
Very pretty.
She is, huh?
I would say she looks... She has a little of the coloring of Clara.
Clara? Oh, you mean Miss Novak from the shop?
Well, Martin, you must admit that Clara's a good-looking girl, and I've personally always found her to be a very likable girl.
Well, this is a fine time to be talking about Miss Novak.
Well, if you don't like Miss Novak, I can tell you right now that you won't like this girl.
Why?
Because it is Miss Novak.
Well, Martin was all for turning on his heel and starting home. But his friend Pirovich pointed out that Miss Novak had written those letters, and it really wasn't fair to the girl to leave her waiting there. Much against his will, Martin finally agreed to go inside the cafe and talk to Miss Novak.
Well, hello, Miss Novak.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Martin.
Well, this is quite the coincidence. I had an appointment. You haven't seen Mr. Pirovich by any chance, have you?
No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'll wait. Mind if I sit here?
Yes, I do, please. Oh, Mr. Martin, I have an appointment, too.
Oh. Well, there's no harm in just sitting here, is there? Oh, I see you're reading Tolstoy's Anna Karenina.
Yes. Anything against it?
Oh, no. I just never expected to meet you in a cafe with Tolstoy. It's quite a surprise. I didn't know you went in for the higher literature.
Yes? Well, there are so many things you don't know about me, Mr. Martin.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever read Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky?
No, I haven't.
I have. Yeah, a lot of things you don't know about me, too, Miss Novak. You know, people seldom go to the trouble of scratching the surface of things to find the inward truth.
Really, Mr. Martin, I wouldn't care at all to scratch your surface. Probably because I know exactly what I'd find. A handbag instead of a heart, a suitcase instead of a soul. Instead of an intellect, a cigarette lighter that doesn't work.
Yeah, that's very well put. Comparing my intellect to a cigarette lighter that doesn't work, that's a very interesting mixture of poetry and meanness.
Oh, no, don't. Meanness?
Don't misunderstand, Miss Novak.
I thought I told you I was expecting somebody.
Listen, if your party doesn't show up...
Don't worry about that, Mr. Martin. My party will show up. It's really not necessary for you to entertain me.
Well, let me tell you something, Miss Novak. You may have beautiful thoughts, but you certainly hide them. And as far as your actions are concerned, you're cold and snippy like an old maid, and you're going to have a terrible time finding a man to fall in love with you.
An old maid? No man will fall in love with me? Really, Mr. Martin, you're getting funnier every minute. Why, I could show you letters that would open your eyes. No, maybe not. You probably wouldn't understand what's in them. They're written by a type of man so far above you that it's ridiculous. I have to laugh when I think of you calling me an old maid. You little insignificant clerk.
And so ends Act One of our production. Well, Clara and Martin, seemingly in love through the mail, but disparaging of one another in real life, seem at an impasse. Let's return to the second chapter of our tale and see how things proceed.
Well, thank you. I'll take it from here. It was a terrible blow to Martin when he looked in the window of that cafe and discovered the unknown girl he'd been writing to for so many weeks was none other than his fellow clerk, Clara. But it was more of a blow to Clara when, after Martin left, she waited 2 hours and her dream prince didn't show up. She took it hard, poor child. You know how girls are. Especially the dreamer type like Clara. Why, I once knew a girl, before I was married, that's another story. Another program. Clara, as I say, took it very hard. She even stayed home from work. She was so upset. Martin felt terribly bad about this, but he decided he ought to call her, strictly in the line of duty. Yes, incidentally, whenever you hear that particular rapping on that particular door, ladies and gentlemen, that means Martin is calling on Miss Novak.
Well, good evening, Miss Novak.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Martin.
Thank you. How are you, young lady?
I'm all right, Mr. Martin. Sorry I couldn't come to work.
Oh, that's all right. Now you must rest and take care of yourself.
I'm sure I'll be all right in a day or two.
But that doesn't mean you should neglect yourself. Now, see, I feel pretty responsible for this whole thing.
You? Oh, no, Mr. Martin. Oh, no. I think I can relieve your mind. It wasn't your fault at all. No, there's a much bigger reason, unfortunately. A psychological reason. But it's my personal problem, and I'll come out of it. It's just one of those things.
Oh, I'm very sorry. That's a shame that you have to go through all this. But of course, so as long
only
as it's only psychological.
Mr. Martin, it's true we are in the same room, but we are not in the same planet.
Miss Novak, I must admire your exquisite way of expressing yourself. You certainly know how to put a man in his planet.
Yes? Come in.
Here, Clara. A special delivery letter has come just for you.
Oh, really? Thank you, Aunt Anna.
I think that's good news.
Well, Mr. Martin, it certainly was kind of you to drop in, but I don't want to spoil your evening.
Oh, no, I have lots of time. You go right ahead with your letter. Don't pay any attention to me.
Well, if you don't mind. Ah.
It's good news?
Oh, wonderful news, Mr. Martin. You know, if I weren't feeling so wonderful right now, I could be very mad with you.
With me? Why?
Why? Because you really spoiled my date the other night. I wasn't so wrong when I asked you not to sit down at my table. You see, this gentleman did come to the cafe. He looked in the window, saw us together, and he misunderstood.
Oh, you mean he thought you and I were friends?
Yeah, he must have. Listen to what he writes. Tell me, who is this very attractive young man? He's just the type women fall for.
Sorry, I caused you so much trouble.
I'll straighten it out. Let him feel a little jealous. It won't hurt him.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem like much of a man, this friend of yours. He walks away. He's afraid to come to the table because another man's sitting there.
Mr. Martin, he was not afraid, I can assure you. He's tactful. He's sensitive. He's not the kind of man who would sit at a table uninvited.
Really?
It's difficult to explain a man like him to a man like you. Where you would say black, he would say white. Where you would say ugly, he says beautiful. And where you would say old maid, he says, listen, here. Eyes that sparkle with fire and mystery.
Oh.
Vivacious.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
Mm.
He says I make him think of gypsy music.
Well, I suppose there's nothing left for me to say except I wish you a very Merry Christmas. Both of you.
Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Well, good night, Miss Novak.
Good night, Mr. Martin.
Well, Clara showed up for work all right and worked like fury. She told everybody, including Martin and me, that she had an engagement for dinner on Christmas Eve, and she was all excited about it. Well, when the shop closed after a record-breaking day before Christmas, only Clara and Martin were left.
Oh, before you go, Miss Novak, you want to see something?
Hmm?
Look, how do you like this gold locket?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah? Well, why don't you try it on? I sort of would like to see how it looks on a girl.
I didn't know you had a girlfriend.
Oh, yes, I... Probably not easy for you to imagine that somebody would like a man my type, but...
Oh, Mr. Martin, don't let's start all over again. It's Christmas, and I'd like to be friends with you. Listen, do you mind if I tell you something?
No, not at all.
When I first started to work here, you know, something very strange happened to me. I find myself looking at you again and again. I just couldn't take my eyes off of you.
Really?
Mm-hmm. All the time I was saying to myself, Clara Novak, what's the matter with you? Mr. Martin is not a particularly attractive man. I hope you don't mind.
No, not at all.
And listen, now comes a paradox. I caught myself falling for you.
I can't believe it.
Yes, Mr. Martin. In those first few weeks, well, there were moments when you could have swept me off my feet.
There were?
Yes. Well, you see, really, I was a different girl then. I was rather naive. All my knowledge came from books, and I just read a novel about an actress who, when she wanted to arouse a man's interest, she treated him like a dog.
Oh, that's true. You treated me like a dog, all right.
Yes, but instead of licking my hand, you barked.
Oh, well. Well, that's all forgotten now, isn't it?
Oh, well, and now you go to see your girlfriend. By the way, is it serious?
Yes, very.
Oh, we might both be engaged Monday morning.
I think we will.
Oh, I don't want you to misunderstand. In my case, I just say it might happen. You see, he's coming to my house tonight to see me at 8 o'clock.
As a matter of fact, I can tell you that it will happen.
What? How do you know?
Oh, I won't go into that.
Mr. Martin, what do you mean it will happen?
Well, I might as well tell you. He came to see me.
Who?
Well, your fiancé. He came last night.
What?
Now, you shouldn't have told him who I am. You see, I spent a very uncomfortable hour. He apparently didn't believe you when you told him that I meant nothing to you, you see.
I can't get it into my head. Coming to see you? Oh, no, that doesn't sound like him at all.
Oh, no, but I straightened everything out. It's all right. Now, don't worry. In a little while, you'll be Mrs. Popkin.
Mrs. Popkin?
Popkin? Wasn't that his name? Popkin? That's what I thought. That's what he told me.
Oh, Popkin. Yes, that's right. Popkin.
And a very nice fellow. Very nice. I congratulate you.
Yes, thank you. I think he's a very attractive man, don't you?
Oh, yes. For his type, I would say, yes.
Would you really classify him as a definite type?
Absolutely. And don't go try changing him now. Don't put him on any
diets.
Would
you call him fat?
Well, that's a matter of opinion. If I were a girl who had to choose between a young, good-for-nothing, with lots of hair, and a fine, solid, mature citizen, I'd pick Matthias Popkin every time.
But he has a fine mind, don't you think? Didn't he impress you as being rather witty?
He struck me as being sort of depressed. But of course it's unfair to judge a man who's out of a job.
Out of a job? Why, he never told me.
Well, that just shows how sensitive he is. But don't worry. Now he feels as though both of you can live very nicely on your salary.
This is terrible. Oh, I'm outraged. I never dreamed he was materialistic like this. If you could read his letters, such ideals, why, I could quote you passages. To love is to be
a man
two
and a woman
and
blended
one.
As angels, heaven itself.
How did you know that?
That's by Victor Hugo. He stole that.
Oh, no, I thought I was the inspiration of all those beautiful thoughts. Now I find he was just copying the words out of a book. He probably didn't mean a single one of them.
Oh, I'm sorry you feel that way. I hate to think I spoiled your Christmas.
That's all right. I guess I really ought to thank you. Well, I guess I'd better be going.
Oh, Clara, if I had known in the beginning how you really felt about me, things would have been different. You know what I wish would happen? When your bell rings at 8 o'clock tonight and you open that door, instead of Popkin, I come in.
It's very sweet of you to try to cheer me up, but I think we better say goodnight. You have an engagement. Yes, and so have I, and we shouldn't be late. Here.
Popkin's right on time.
He's not here yet, and I'll thank you not to joke about it.
Clara, couldn't I take his place?
Please, you're only making it more difficult for me.
Oh, Clara, my darling.
Oh, no, you mustn't put your arms around me.
Dearest, sweetest Clara, I can't stand it any longer. Please take your key.
Please.
Open post office box 237.
No.
And take me out of my envelope.
Really?
And kiss me.
You mustn't. Box 237?
Dear friend.
You? Dear friend?
Oh, my darling.
Mr. Popkin? Dear Mr. Popkin!
Yeah? Well, that's about the size of it. Of course they got married. They're very happy now, those two. And, now, if you should ever need some very fine leather goods or anything in the novelty line.
You have been listening to Richmond Radio Works' production of The Shop Around the Corner. The Shop Around the Corner was directed by Marty Holscher. Dustin Suman played Mr. Martin. Megan Carty played Clara Novak. Jake Foss played Pirovich. David Jetmore played Matuchik. Rachel Venus played Woman and Anna. and Marty Holscher played the host. Sound engineering was done by Rick Funk, and post-production was done by Rachel Venus and Jake Faust. This has been a Richmond Radio Works production in conjunction with Earlham College.